live.
October 4th, and if I can delay it until October 7th,
approximately for 200 in the class, probably slightly fewer in the class, but I normally don't have a problem with people maybe whispering a little bit or trying to like communicate that they on topic, but unfortunately the size of the class, if everyone does that, it means that people can't hear. So I'm going to have to ask if you do want to have more of a conversation with each other. Again, you're adults, you're completely within your right, but you are going to have to step outside if you do want to, you know, talk about something. Unfortunately, dislike the class. If it's much smaller, I really don't have a problem with people like whispering to their neighbors or, you know, that sort of thing. But unfortunately, if everyone does it, then other people won't be able to hear.
Is there an estimate about how far the
Yeah, I don't know yet. We'll find out. So yeah, the commission will be on the next topic before the midterms. It's probably going to be roughly chapter 12 and 13. I'm going to try to get through chapter 15. Starting with 14, then I probably will cut out with 13, but if I don't get through 13, then obviously I'm not going to like ask you if you have it covered. So probably roughly chapter 12 and 14. We'll be wrap up 12 today, and then we'll start on 13. 13 is short, it's not too hard, so hopefully it won't take us that long to get through. And as I said, the exam is getting pushed a little later than I hope, because it does mean the probably will cover to get through it. As I said, though, my goal is to accommodate people if I can, but it may not be possible. So some of you have some conflict. If it does come out that I cannot resolve the room for the Monday, unfortunately, you're going to have to find a way to resolve that conflict. I do want to accommodate as many people as possible, you know, if I can. All right. So, yeah, info training session happening. If you're interested, parallelograms that you can make are going to be within one plane. So, just plane is going to look something like, you know, 103 times f, where some is a similar number, plus -210 times t. Or I guess you see more often this is in the front, these are just scalars, and I guess I normally put the scalar multiplication in the front, but it doesn't really matter too much. You'll see both. So this is, yep.
It doesn't matter when the one goes up 1 by 3 or
1, right? I mentioned that in an earlier class, but sometimes you'll see 3 by 1, sometimes you'll see 1 by 3, and for the purpose of this class, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
So these guys here are just numbers, real numbers, or we'll call them, we are calling them scalars. You'll see that word a lot when you do linear algebra, that just means to do the same thing. And basically, any real number that I can multiply in there is going to, and then as it goes up, positive, negative, or whatever, you remember if I have one vector and I multiply it by a positive or negative number, that's going to sweep out this one line in the direction of the vector. So if I multiply it by a big number, it's going to be farther out, but it's the same direction. If I multiply it by a small number, it's going to be farther in, so the same direction. If I multiply it by a negative number, it's going to point in the opposite direction, but that's still on the line. If I point it to by a large negative number, it'll go farther in the direction. So that's going to sweep out a line. So these guys here are going to sweep out a line, and these guys here are going to sweep out a line. And between them both, we can also add things together, and that's going to give us more things on the plane. And in the end, that's going to give us a whole plane. So what we want to do for this exercise is to find an equation that describes the plane, that gives us everything in the plane. And what that means is an equation that I can just look at that equation, and if I want to know what the point is on that plane, I say, does that point satisfy that equation? If yes, it's on the plane. If no, it is not on the plane. So that's what we're looking for here. Now, one of the really handy ways to look at planes is to look at their normal vector, so a vector that is perpendicular to the plane. So this is, a bit hard to draw in two dimensions, so I just figured I'd take some of the old notes and try to sort of wave it in a Sharpie around. You have a plane anywhere in space, whatever the coordinates are, you can have exactly one direction it's perpendicular. Now, it could be longer or shorter, that doesn't, and pointing either direction, that doesn't make a difference. That's still perpendicular. But we're going to want, you know, you can just be concrete. We just want a vector, as long as it's perpendicular. So it could be, the plane could be up here. In this case, we're going through the origin. So if we're starting our vector at the origin, again, you don't always start vectors at the origin. You can put them wherever you want. They're just giving the length in that direction. But it could look something like this. You have some plane and you have some vector that's perpendicular to the whole plane, and that would tell you, if we imagine this plane is the origin, anything that's perpendicular to that vector is going to be in the plane. So this vector is a really handy tool to characterize who is and who isn't in this plane. So what we want to do is we want to find something that's perpendicular to this plane, and we have some really handy tools. So we spent some time looking at dot product and cross product, which are, for a lot of you, these are going to be review, and for a lot of you, these are going to be kind of new, and for a lot of you, these are going to be something that you saw like years ago and don't really remember. So that's why we should spend the time going over them. Some of you are like, why are we wasting all this time with calculus class? And some of you, this is probably like, you know, oh man, these are but either way, we now have these really handy tools in our tool belt. That's the main thing I want you to take away from the lectures on, you know, the dot cross product and linear algebra in general, is you now have really handy tools to do geometry. So when you get a geometry problem, you can now just use one of these. Now, I want to find something that's perpendicular to these two vectors, and the really handy thing to use for that is, does anyone have an immediate thought? Yep. Cross product, right. So this is good. You guys got the point that I want to use this tool. So I want to take the cross product, and that'll give me something that's perpendicular to these two vectors. So I can either memorize the formula, which, you know, I could sort of just write down the formula if I have it in my head, or if I don't remember it, I can remember that I can treat it as the determinant of a matrix that has these unit vectors, I, j, and k, up in the top. And we remember that I is equal to the one that points on the x-axis, j points on the y-axis, and k points on the z-axis. So I'm going to put that at the top of my matrix, and then I'm going to put these two vectors in the bottom two slots. So this would give me my cross product. If you're doing a geometry problem, and I'm not specifically saying take your cross product, but I'm saying find me something perpendicular, you actually don't even have to worry too much if you remember which order they go in and put all these things in the wrong order. You'll still get something perpendicular. If I tell you to take your cross product, you might lose a tiny number of points. points if you get them in the wrong order to get time off. But for this, you don't even have to work. We can put them in the other order too. And we just have to work out what this is. So we remember that this is when we take a determinant. What we do is we take the first thing along the top row. And again, some of you know more complicated or more efficient ways of taking determinants. We're not necessarily more efficient, but might be better in a specific case. If you know them, please feel free to use them on the exam. It's fine to take a determinant any way that you want to take a determinant as long as it's legitimate. If you don't, like if this is something you haven't really seen before, don't worry about it. I don't want you guys to get confused. If you're going to take it in your algebra, you'll learn more about it. And if you're not going to take it in your algebra, there's no point in you learning more about it. So, well, it's all this stuff, but you just know, you don't need to know it for this course. So let's keep it simple. We're just going to expand along the top row. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the first thing in the top row, which is this I vector, and then I'm going to cover it up and everything in the row and column that it's in and take the determinant of this smaller matrix. And I'm going to remember that and multiply it by that. And I'm going to remember that this is going to be 0 times 0 minus 3 times 1. So that's 0 minus 3. Then I'm going to keep going along the top row, but I'm going to switch the sign. I'm going to switch to being negative. So I'm going to say minus, and then I'm going to take my j vector, and then I'm going to cover up its row and column and look at this matrix here, and I'm going to calculate its determinant, and so I'm going to say this is 1 times 0 minus 3 times negative 2. So this is, again, 0 minus negative 6, so plus 6. And then I'm going to get this last guy in the top row. This is the k vector. And then I'm going to cover up that row and column, and I'm going to take the determinant of this matrix, which is 1 times 1 minus 0 times negative 2. So that's 1 plus 0. And then I'm going to add all that up and see what vector I get. So this guy's going to tell me what's going in the first entry here, because whatever I multiply by the j vector is just going to be the middle entry. Whatever I multiply by the k vector is going to be the last entry. So I'm going to look at this guy first and say that I have a negative 3. I'm going to look here and say that I have a negative 6. And I'm going to look at this guy here and see that I have 1. So this is my vector here, and this is going to be perpendicular to both of the two vectors. So this is the perpendicular to my plane. And my plane was going through the origin, and then I put my perpendicular vector at the origin. And then I know that anything in the plane is perpendicular to that vector as well. And the plane is exactly the vectors that are perpendicular to it. So when I'm trying to find the equation to my plane, I can say, what are all of the things that are perpendicular to this vector? So how do I test if something's perpendicular to something else? Yeah, dot product is equal to 0. So this is another handy tool that we now have in our toolbox. Well, great. I think a lot of you, a number of hands up, so a bunch of you, I think, have the same answer. So I'm going to say, if I want to know if a vector, let's call it A, A1, A2, A3, if in plane, I want to see if it's perpendicular to this vector that I just calculated. So how I'm going to do that is test that its dot product with it is 0. And I know that the dot product is going to be 0 exactly when it's perpendicular. So that will give me exactly the points of this plane. So I'm going to say, if I take A1, A2, A3, dot, -3, -6, 1, then I'm going to want this to be equal to 0 when it's in the plane. So I'm going to calculate my dot product here, which is fairly easy to do. So I get my -3 times A1 plus -6 times A2, so that's -6 A2, plus 1 times A3. So I can then conclude, if this is equal to 0, then I'm in the plane. So the formula for the plane is that -3a1 -6a2 plus a3 is equal to 0. So this is a formula that will tell me exactly when a point is in the plane. So that's the formula for the plane. And in general, you can always do that with a plane. If you're given it by vectors, you can convert it into something for the have an equation, you can find vectors. You can move back and forth between these, and it will be whichever one is sort of more convenient for the problem you're working on, or whichever one I've asked for. Like if you want to ask it by the other, you want to go between them. But also, if you just are working on a problem and you have it in one form, you might have to convert it into the other form, or you might find it convenient to convert it into the other form. And so you want to be able to move back and forth between this. But this is going to work with any plane that you have, if it's given in terms of two vectors. It's containing the origin. I'm going to do an example next that doesn't contain the origin, which makes things a little bit more complicated. The origin is a simple case. But it's containing the origin, you can just go through that reasoning that, you know, your perpendicular is going to be, you know, perpendicular to everything in the plane, and you can just go through all that reasoning and get there. If you do an exam, you don't necessarily have to write it in complete detail. You can put a few words in just to make sure that you know what you're doing, but basically, this is a fairly basic calculation. If I just give you just this problem, just go through the computations, and you know that should be enough that you kind of know what you're doing, you know why you're doing it. All right, so that's an example that contains the origin. So that means that every plane has a formula, has those two formulas for it. Any plane that I have going through the origin, I can write this way. For some numbers, they might be different numbers depending on the plane. Or I can write it as two vectors that are in it. But now I want to look at one that doesn't go through the origin, which is a little bit more complicated, but not too much more complicated. We kind of know what we're doing now. So, plane not through origin. All right, so we want to consider this example. So we're going to consider one that's kind of at the same angle that the previous one was at. So it's the angle of this plane which is going through the origin, but now I want it to be, you know, moved somewhere else. Like a plane doesn't have to go through the origin. But when it goes through the same, at the same angle. So I'm going to say, I'm going to start by finding a formula for plane containing another point, 0, negative 1, 3, at same and so what is the same, what it being at the same angle means is that this is going to consist of vectors of form 0, negative 1, 3 plus our previous parametrics that we had over here. So here we can just add any combination, any linear combination of these. So this guy times something and this guy times something. And we could add that to the origin, and we get a point in plane. In this case, our plane contains this point, but we still want to be able to add these two vectors to get something at the same angle. So this is plus 103s plus negative 202t. So this is, again, this is called parametric form. Because it has parameters. But what we want to have is a formula, in this case, because that's what the question is asking for. Sometimes I might give you a formula and say, can you find me a parametric form? In this case, we want a formula. So again, it gets very hard to draw three-dimensional stuff on this two-dimensional surface. But you can imagine that this is perpendicular vector. And we kind of tend to think of the vector at the origin. You can certainly put vectors other places, but we sort of think of it as being at the origin. So the one that is perpendicular to it that we already calculated, negative 3, negative 6, 1, it's still at the origin somewhere. Is that a question or just a hand up?
No.
Okay. So we have the same vector, and we want this to be perpendicular to it, but it might be through the origin, but in this case, it probably isn't. I haven't actually looked at these numbers, so we might just find out that it is, but it might be through the origin, might be out here, could be out here, could be back here. We don't really know where this plane is going to be, we just know that this thing is perpendicular to it. So I'm going to stick this through a total of 6. So it could be somewhere on the vector. You can imagine something like this. This is not going to stay up very well, but there's a perpendicular vector sticking through your plane. Imagine that standing on top of it. So this is what it's going to kind of look like, and so we're going to say that if your perpendicular to this vector, doesn't mean that, so in this case, it doesn't mean that you're perpendicular to, like, the vector itself describing this point here, for example. The vector here is, if we're thinking this is the origin, the vector over here is not described by this. That's the direction of the plane, yeah?
So could you raise that up a little bit?
Sure. Good point. Okay. So here's my vector, here's my plane, and we're kind of assuming they're perpendicular. But this is the origin. So if I'm looking at a point that's out here somewhere, then it's not necessarily perpendicular to this literal vector, because this vector is described by a vector that looks like this. So this vector, if I'm writing it from the origin, it's always going to be, you know, pointing all these different directions. That literal vector is not perpendicular to this guy. What it is it's a vector from the point that we know is in the plane, the 0, negative 1, 3, the point that is in the plane, its vector from that point is going to be perpendicular to this guy. So what we could write is that A1, A2, A3 is in the plane if A1, A2, A3 minus 0, negative 1, 3 is described by a combination of these or is perpendicular to the negative 3, negative 6, 1 that we got. So the negative 3, negative 6, 1 is my orange sharpie here. So this is one way of looking at it. So we can turn that into a formula. Let's actually be easy to do that first. So we can say, well, this is the same as saying that, you know, A1 minus 0, because we can do the subtraction. A2 minus negative 1, which is say plus 1. And A3 minus 3 is perpendicular to this vector. And then we can say, well, that means we take the dot product again. So we can say that negative 3 A1 minus 6 times A2 plus 1 plus 1 times A3 minus 3 should be equal to 0. So that's one way of writing down the equation for the plane, or one way of thinking it through and saying that this should be equal to 0. And so in general, any direction, like any normal vector that I have or that I can find, and then any point in the plane, I can go through these computations and say that I have some way of writing down the plane as any point is going to be in it if this is true, and not in it if this is not true. The other thing that I can do is say that the projection onto this vector, we talked about projections a bit last time. The projection of any of the vectors that are in the plane onto the orange sharpie is going to be the same for anything in the plane. So it's not going to be zero because the plane is up here. They all project some amount onto this sharpie, but it's always going to be the same. So that's another way of thinking about it. So I could work through it that way and say that I can figure out what my projection onto my perpendicular vector is going to be, and then say a vector is in the plane exactly when the projection is equal to that. So I can say projection of A1, A2, A3 onto negative 3, negative 6, 1. So we can either just remember our formula from last class, or, oh wait, I'm not losing my notes. You can remember a formula from last class, or if you don't remember, you can kind of work it out. And you can say, well, I'm taking a dot product, but the dot product also takes into account the length of this guy, and you don't want it to have to be longer, just to say longer. This guy's here to give us a direction, so we're going to have to divide it by that length. And then we're going to want to multiply this guy in to get the direction of the projection again. And then we're going to want to divide it by its length again. So if we try to sort of work that out, like you don't remember the formula for projection, you can kind of just work this out for yourself and say, well, so I take the dot product of A1, A2, A3 with this perpendicular guy, but then I'm going to have to divide out by the length of this guy to get the length of the projection, because you remember that both these lines multiply into the formula where we have, the dot product as we have d dot w equal to length of d times length of w times cosine of the angle between them. We don't want the length of this guy contributing, so we're going to have to divide out by that. And then we're going to want to multiply that guy in again to get the right direction, and so we're going to want to divide out by it again. So we're going to take the dot product, and we're going to divide by the length of this guy squared, and then multiply in. This is just going to be a number now. You remember that a dot product is sometimes called a scalar product because the answer is just going to be a real number. And I'm dividing it by a square of a length. The length is just a real number as well, so this is just going to be all a real number. And then I can multiply the whole thing by the vector. So I can calculate all these things. I can say, well, the top part I can only do that algebraically. I can say -3 times a1 plus or minus 6a2 plus a3 divided by, and here, remember our length formula involves a square root, so it's kind of handy to just remember that and say, well, I don't even have to take a square root because it's a square again. And say this is equal to this squared plus this squared plus this squared, so -3 squared is 9, plus 6 squared is 36, plus 1 squared is 1, so that whole thing is equal to 46. I actually, as I said, I haven't flipped the numbers here, so my numbers might turn out kind of crazy. When I give you the midterm, I will work through the problems ahead of time to make sure your numbers don't get too huge or ridiculous, but I haven't done that here, so I might get some bad numbers, and I might also get some bad arithmetic, so feel free to catch me if I'm, adding people on or something. So this thing times our vector. So then we want to say that. So this is the projection onto a1, a2, a3, and we want this to be always the same. And we only know this one vector that's already in our plane. We said our original problem said find the plane that goes through. What was it? It was 0, negative 1, 3. And so I want to figure out, if it is 0, negative 1, 3, what is the projection? So I can plug that in. So projection of 0, negative 1, 3 onto negative 3, negative 6, 1 is equal to this with 0, negative 1, 3 plugged into that. So we have 3 times 0 minus 6 times negative 1 plus 1 times 3 all over 46 times negative 3 negative 6 1. So we calculate this out, we get that 9 over 46 times this guy. And then if we project anything onto this vector, we want it to be equal to this. So we say that formula we have on here, we want to be equal to this. So we want these guys to be equal. So this is useful. We actually want to know what the actual projection is. So when we had this will tell us this sort of distance from the origin. It will tell us this length. But we just want a formula. We just say we want these things to be equal, and then that tells us whether it's on the plane or not. So we can even just forget some of this stuff. We can forget dividing by 46. We can forget this vector here. And so basically what we end up with is that a1, a2, a3 is on the plane if this guy here, or if 9, I'll keep it the same order, just keep it simple, 9 is equal to negative 3, a1, minus 6, a2, plus a3. So we now have a formula. This should be equivalent to the one, if I've done all my math right, then this should be equivalent to the formula that we found before. So we want to make sure that's true, and keep some errors. But again, any plane that you have, even when it doesn't contain the origin, you should be able to find a formula that looks something like this. It says that you know, some coefficient times 8.1 plus some coefficient times 8.2 plus some coefficient times 8.3 is equal to some number, and this may not be zero. So now that we don't have the origin in the plane, this might not be zero. We can still have a relatively simple formula. Now, next place we'll try to see if we can make sure that these are the same, but then my reference should be. So here we had this formula up here. So we can say, well, we have this guy over here, so our previous formula. So again, you can use either of these unless we, like, whichever you like better or whichever is more convenient for you to teach you the problem, unless we actually specifically say. So you might say on the problem, put it in this form, or we might say put it in some other form, but you can use either of these two if you like, but these should turn out to be the same. So we get negative 3a1 minus 6a2 minus 6, because we're just distributing it out, plus a3 minus 3 equals 0. Okay, we're safe. I got this right. Or at least I made the same mistake both times as I did. That happens also. So this is equal to, as that moves to this side, we get 9. So that's good. Two ways of describing the plane turned out to be the same. So that's handy. So that's putting it in the form of an equation. So now some further things that we might want to do are, as I said, test if a point is on it, find the closest point to it, that sort of thing. So, for example, I might say, does this contain zero, 1, 15? And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to plug it into that formula and see if it equals 9 or not. And if it doesn't, then it's not always 9. If it does, then it does. So I'm just going to say, well, 3 times 0 minus 6 times 1 plus 1 times 15, and I get negative 6 plus 15, which is equal to 9, which means that I got my arithmetic right last night. So this is equal to 9, and this means that the answer is yes. This is in the plane. So it's just a matter of seeing if it satisfies the equation. I could give you another point. Like, this is the kind of thing I could do on the terms, give you a couple of different points and say, you know, which ones are on the plane or not. So if you do the whole psychology testing, and if I need to do, then maybe there's a chance that one is on the plane and one isn't, because, like, psychologically, that's the kind of thing that someone would ask. So I might ask you three instead just to make sure that you're not guessing. But in this case, I've done two, and if I've done my math right, then this one is, and hopefully it's not.
Well, in some cases, it should be easier. It could be easier to just figure it out.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. I'm actually hoping instead of doing psychology, you'll just do the math, because the math is actually probably easier than the psychology here. I'm saying on the midterm, though, I might mess with your head by giving you like three different points, and they're all in the same, three different ones that are. Yes?
I mean, like, you don't have to find a standard form of the equation.
If I ask you to find a standard form of the equation, so yeah, basically just do what the midterm is. If I ask you for certain form, put it in that form. If I don't ask you for that form, hi guys, again, I'm going to have to ask you guys to keep it quiet while we're in class. We have 12 minutes left. So yeah, this is not, class is not even really close to over. Alright, so yeah, I had you can play the psychology game. So let me get you so far. I have propagated something where the answer to all the four parts of the question was all the same. It was a yes or no thing. And they were all, it was a practice one. My friend called the first three and then said, well, they were all, you know, yes. So I'm assuming the fourth one is a no. And the guy goes, it's a math test, not a psychology test. And of course, the fourth one was also a yes. So it was like, yeah, it was all. So you can't count on getting psychology. Here, for the sake of the example, I tried to pick a point that isn't on here. So let's make sure I was right. So I can then say again, negative 3 times 4 minus 6 times 0 plus 1 times 11 is equal to negative 12 minus 0 plus 11, and this is equal to negative 1. So the answer is this one is not on the plane. And Well, find the closest point on the plane to that point. So. So the closest point on a plane is going to be the one that's perpendicular. Like my distance is perpendicular. If I want to get from a point to the plane, then I'm going to want to go straight to the plane rather than trying to go, in some other direction. So I'm going to try to find the point on the plane that. So going from this point that we can get, going in this perpendicular direction, which again we conveniently already calculated, if I'm going in the perpendicular direction, trying to find something that is on the plane. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, well, want 4, 0, 11 plus some scalar number, some number times perpendicular vector that we found earlier. This times, I guess I've used S and T, so I'm going to try to avoid those just to avoid confusion. I might end up using them. But this times R, again, this is just a real number. And I want to find an R that, so that this point is on the plane. So the way I can do that is just say, okay, well, if it's on the plane, then we already have a formula that says what the formula for being on the plane is. So I want something so that this satisfies the equation that we found up here. So what I might do is I can then say, okay, well, let's sort of just crank through our formula. So this is one of the things that useful to be able to do and also useful in other places is that I have these equations and these formulas. So rather than trying to visualize everything and say, like, where would that point land and try to do all this, like, geometry and trigonometry, I can just chunk through algebra and get the right answer rather than kind of do alternative your geometric reasoning. So I'm just going to sort of chunk through the algebra and see where it takes us. So I'm going to say a vector that's on this. So we should also recognize this as being a line. So if I have a point and then I'm adding all the multiples of some vector, this is a line. So it is useful to visualize it as we go. This is a line that goes perpendicular to the plane. And then we're saying which point on this line is going to be on the plane. You know, if we have the line that's perpendicular to it, it should hit the plane somewhere. All right. So if we add these up, we get 4 minus 3r, 0 minus 6r, 11 plus r. And then we want something where when we take the dot product with the 3, 6, 1, with negative 3, negative 6, 1, we want this to be equal to 9. So want equal to 9. And we're assuming that there is one. So we're just going to put that into our formula and then see what comes out in the end. So take our dot product. Again, we've got some variables in it now, but we can still just do a dot product. So we get, negative 12 plus 9r. Negative 6 times 0 is just 0. Negative 6 times 6 is 36r. And plus 11 plus r is equal to 9. And then we just reflect our terms. And we say, okay, well, we've got 9r plus 36r plus r. That's 46r is equal to 9 plus 12 minus 11, which is equal to 10. So r should be equal to 10 over 46. And then we're going to plug that in. That's what our r should be equal to. So we're going to take that and just plug that in and say, well, for r equal to that, and 4, 0, 11 plus negative 3, negative 6, 1 times this is equal to 4, 0, 11 plus negative 15 over 23. Negative 30 over 23 and 5 over 23. Sorry, okay, maybe illegible. And then we add this up, we say, okay, 4 minus 15 over 23, negative 30 over 23, 11 plus 5 over 23. And if I've done all my math right, if you plug this back into the formula, then you should get that this is equal to 9 Again, the numbers are getting a bit ugly here. If I give you something in the midterm and want you to go through all these steps, and if I didn't say verify that this is on the plane, then you would then plug it back into your formula and find out. I'm not going to do that because I want to spend the last 5 minutes getting into something that isn't lines in the plane, just to let you know that they exist. We will be talking about them more later. But I could ask you something like verify this, and then you want to plug it back in. But I'll give you slightly less numbers. So those are the kinds of things that you can do. You know, we now have all these tools for manipulating vectors and two and three dimensional space and lines and planes and all that sort of stuff. You're going to think that are orthogonal things, things that are parallel things, that sort of thing. All right. So I'm also going to talk, we're also going to deal with curved surfaces a bit. We don't have much time to talk about them. Your textbook goes into more detail. But let's take a few examples. So one of the things that they like to do are quadratic surfaces, which is just by plugging in something like, I say, ax squared plus by squared plus cz squared plus whatever times x plus whatever times y plus whatever times z plus whatever number is equal to 0. And then I look at what can come out. And it's actually like a lot of variety that can come out there. And I'm not going to make you memorize those by name, but they have names. It's kind of fun to look through your textbook and sort of see what kinds of surfaces can pop up. But more, I just want you guys to be comfortable working with it, that I'm going to give you something that's in this form that you might be able to, in a reasonable circumstance, get a sense of what it looks like and be able to solve problems on it. But, and they can build classified, so I'm not going to go into that in a ton of detail. But one of the classic examples that they use is a sphere. So sphere is the sort of thing that I do want you to be able to work with. So if I say, I want to find the equation of a sphere, the center at 2, 3, negative 1, and radius 5. It's going to turn out the equations of this form. So this is one of the reasons these are important. Spheres, ellipsoids, other things with fancy names like hyperbolic triangles and that kind of stuff all fall into categories. But yeah, some of that I want to go to work with them. So, for example, here, I want to find the equation. Now, what do I do here? I know that every point on the sphere is the same distance, that is the radius, from wherever the center is. So, if I want an equation that says whether my point, a1, a2, a3, is on the sphere, then I want to know that my distance from this guy to the center is equal to the radius. So, this is fairly easy to do. We can just say, well, the distance, the vector from this guy to this guy, is like to say, well, my point, I'm subtracting off the center. This in here is the vector from the center to the point I'm wondering about. And then I can say that its length is equal to 5. So that already is some sense of an answer, right? If I ask this person, they'll say, well, it's less than a form that looks something like this. So then I can work out what that looks like. I can say, well, I know what subtraction looks like. Let's just do the vector subtraction, and this should be equal to 5. And then I'm going to take the length formula, which I also have to do. This is the square root of this first guy squared plus the second guy squared plus this guy squared is equal to 5. But then if I want it in this form, because this is a lot easier to work with, I can just square both sides. I know this is a positive square root, so I know that I can just square both of these and say that, well, this guy here, which is going to be non-negative, is going to be equal to the square over here. So I'm most of the way there. If I want it actually in this form, I'm going to have to expand that. So that's the problem. I'm going to expand it, which I'm going to do, but a lot of the time, this is actually probably the form you want. So for most practical purposes, this is probably the form that you actually want. But I can expand these out, and I'm going to get something in this form. So this is the other kind of thing you'll be dealing with. You'll be dealing with lines and planes, you'll be dealing with these, or other orthogonal surfaces as well. There's other things that I can define using whatever other functions I have. So this is an example of a very sort of natural, very obvious surface. When it comes to calculus and dealing with curved surfaces, you're going to want to deal with. So if I want to expand it out, I'm going to say, well, a1 squared minus 4, a1 plus 4, I think, and so on. And then I'm going to be. And I just want to set my curve in any of the form that we talk about.
Oh, thank you.
Maybe go and chat in about 20 minutes, 20 or 30 minutes, just so she's available.
Oh, okay.
All right.
See you later.
Bye.
Thank you.